Welcome to Green Connections Radio, where we bring you insights on leadership, innovation, business, policy, and careers, and just plain fun, interesting stuff from top innovators and leaders whose work intersects with the energy and sustainability space. They come from all sectors, government, business, academia, advocacy, the arts, and the media, and some are entrepreneurs or authors. I'm Joan Michelson. You benefit from my extensive network of C-level executives and transformers and my many years in the media and Fortune 500 companies. Today, I'd like you to meet Jennifer Reagan. She's Director of Sustainability at AEG Entertainment. AEG may be familiar to you because you might have attended an event at one of their venues or because of the Michael Jackson tragedy. Jennifer spoke at the Schneider Electric Conference recently, and where we met, and she spoke about a key issue that was both important in the Michael Jackson tragedy and in sustainability. What, pray tell, could I possibly be talking about, you're probably thinking? Well, it's insurance. Think about it. The changes that need to be made to a facility to increase its energy efficiency, reduce its carbon footprint, for example, may well affect the insurance coverage of the building. So I'd like you to listen to my conversation with Jennifer Reagan. I think you'll find it fascinating. I was very interested that you were talking about how some of the sustainability initiatives you want to do, you can't do because of insurance issues, which is really interesting to me. So can you talk a little bit about, I mean, you talk about solar panels and things like that, some of the lighting issues. Can you talk a little bit about that? That's kind of unique.
Yes. I was referring specifically in the presentation to getting the insurance for the roof cost covered when you added the weight of solar panels to it, considering what the maximum weight of an event's lighting rigging would be, light rigging. So what's unique about our industry is having our venues be flexible to the needs of the client, which could be as simple as, not that a hockey game is simple, but in terms of light rigging, it's very simple, or to the Grammys, which is one of the most extensive lighting systems, or live telecast where they have cameras hanging from the roof. So when we were looking at building a solar panel system, we wanted to maximize the roof square footage, but we also needed to consider the weight. And so we took the most recent Grammys, which was in 2007, and used the numbers of their light rigging to estimate what the rigging would need to be, because they were the highest weighted rigging system.
And then, sort of a worst case scenario.
Yeah, exactly.
To clarify for the audience, the Grammys are held at the Staples Center, which is in your portfolio of properties.
Thank you. Yes. So AEG manages and owns 58 venues. And so these are issues that we might deal with on a local level at the O2 in London or Minneapolis with the Target Center. But at Staples Center specifically, we installed solar panels in 2008, which were the largest system of its time on any sports facility. And it was a big success for us. We were very happy with it. But we could have done more in terms of more solar panels if our primary business wasn't hosting events, but that's our primary business. And we want to make sure that's front and center. So what I was referring to was not being able to get the insurance on the roof membrane if we were to have a heavier weighted solar system.
But is it the solar system that was too heavy, or is it that the lights couldn't be hung from a ceiling that had solar panels on it?
It was a maximum weight that the roof could bear, and we were looking at both angles. So what was the maximum weight of lighting we wanted to be able to have, and then the net of that between the maximum the insurance would cover was what we could do in solar panels. I bet you if we did it now, it wouldn't be economically feasible for us to change out, but I do think there are lighter panels even only 5-6 years after.
So what are the top five maybe issues that facilities face in sustainability? You talked a little bit about your goal. You talked a lot about your goals, but talk about the top five priorities and how you manage them. Which ones you can control more than others, and how you go about achieving them.
Thank you. So I always like to say and give frame for our audience that AEG is in three industries: facility management, live entertainment, and sports management. And we manage sports teams, we manage live events, and then the facilities where those occur. And with that, we're affiliated with over 100 events. More than 100. We're affiliated with over 100 facilities, of which only 58 of them do we have a contract with, a management contract where we manage electricity, natural gas, water.
So you can only really control 58.
Exactly. So our environmental program, although we create tools that can be used by any of the 100, and sometimes are, we are only measuring the footprint of those 58, which is a huge accomplishment. We're the first in our industry to measure that footprint. But we focus in on the 58 because that's where we can leverage change and improvement. And I think you asked me, how do we prioritize? And it really is a combination of looking at the local conditions where the venue is. We want the program to reflect the community on all levels. So, for example, in states or regions with water drought, we will focus on water efficiency. So in California, Southern California, we were the first very early adopting waterless urinals. So all of our venues have waterless urinals. It's 468 waterless urinals. Might be 486. Sometimes I flip those numbers. In Australia, we use a lot of water-free technology and reclaimed water in our venues out there. So it really is a matter of, in some cases, the resource limitation or the cost of the resource makes it a very simple business case that makes a lot of sense to the community. And in other areas, maybe the municipal structure doesn't have a program, but we recognize the value of bringing it, and that's really around recycling. So recycling is one of those things where some cities have it, some cities don't.
Recycling is a huge issue, and there's a movement now. In fact, some of the consumer product companies are launching to actually take recycling out of the hands of the municipalities because they, frankly, are not doing the greatest job when could do. I mean, only 8% of the plastic we generate in this country is recycled. What are some of the other priorities? You talked a little bit about water. How much LED lighting or how much energy efficient lighting can you do in a venue of this magnitude? I mean, I would imagine that these are really where your costs are. And how do you pass that along to either the guest who's buying a ticket or to the concert promoter or how are those costs worked out?
Well, energy is the second greatest spend, and second only to labor at our organization. And within energy, lighting and HVAC are the top two within that category. So lighting is a huge focus for us, and we've definitely been systematically doing continual upgrades. So when we are looking at changing up bulbs, if there's an easy transition to a different, more efficient bulb, we do that. If it's a more advanced ballast change, we actually look at Staples Center in LA saved $80,000 by changing 2,000 halogens out to LEDs. That was a pretty simple transition.
$80,000 over what period of time?
A year. That's an average. It's about 2% of the energy consumption was saved in that one change. And then we also have small venues like in the Midland Theater in Kansas City, which changed out 4,000 of their bulbs in front on their marquee and saved 16,000, which was actually overtime.
Do any of those savings get passed down to the guest in
a
ticket?
In truth, what's nice about it is the cost of those don't get passed on either. So in terms of the way our economic model is different in every city, and we have an operating budget that can sometimes be tied to ticket sales and sometimes isn't. It really depends on the model that the city or the owners developed. And in most cases, it's really about driving down that operation cost.
Just to wrap up, because I know you have a train to catch. You mentioned the LA and the metro system. In full disclosure, I ran the marketing for the rollout of the LA mass transit system in the past. And so it's near and dear to my heart. And some of the incentives and partnerships that you're talking about were some of the initiatives that I started, frankly. I know what it's like to get Los Angelians unstapled from their cars. It's not an easy experience, despite the fact that they complain about traffic. And I've been on the 405 where you're going literally 5 miles an hour, and it's not pretty. So talk a little bit about the partnerships that you're doing with the public transit systems where the concert goer or the sports event attendee is going to get an economic benefit from using public transportation at the same time.
Well, you would have been involved in this, but in Los Angeles, the LA Kings have had a long-standing relationship with Metro, which is the municipal LA City Municipal Transit. And they, if you show your Metro ticket, which is a little harder to do with the tap card. So if you show or demonstrate some level of Metro use, you can get a discount on your ticket and or a discount on concessions occasionally. But and one of the great things, I gave up my car when I got this job, which was 6 years ago.
In L.A.? LA or without a car?
Yes.
God, I did that a long time ago, but I can't imagine doing it now.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I take an express bus to work, and I take the red line to my office meetings, and I move between uni lines and city lines. And
oh, you're on my train.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
By the way, we had a kids' contest to name Metrolink.
Ooh, that's fun. Well, and they have great public art on the trains, but one of the things they're always advertising is the Kings, and they have transit TV in there. All of a sudden, I'm in there, and I hear the buzzer that I normally hear in arena, and I'm watching the transit TV, and they're like, come to the Kings game, and get your 10% discount. So it's a great program, and in some other cities, like Minneapolis, we're able to encourage biking, and we really use our messaging platforms from our websites, our social media, or even the events in our venues to try to get people to carpool, take transit.
Do you have charging for electric vehicles if people drive an electric car?
We do. Not at all of our venues, but in California we have 8 at LA Live, which is where Staples Center resides. It's an entertainment district. We helped install some at Rose Garden in Portland, and we're working on that right now. We're looking at expanding the program.
Great. Well, I have 100 other questions for you, but I'll let you go to your train to my hometown, New York City. Jennifer's handle is Redhead Green Girl?
Yes. Thank you.
So apparently she's tweeting all kinds of fun facts about conservation. So thank you so much for being on Green Connections and have a great trip back.
Thank you very much, Joan.
This is Joan Michelson from Green Connections Radio, where we help you live green, work green, and earn green. Find us online on greenconnectionsradio.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Like us on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at Joan Michelson and follow us at Green Connects DC. See you next time.
Hi, my name is David Goldberg, president of Edge Studio, a voiceover company. We oversee professional narrators and voice actors for sales videos, training videos, telephone pre-recorded systems, commercials, web videos, and all applications requiring voiceover. And in fact, for over 20 years and in over 100 languages, we have been considered the most trusted and the friendliest leader in the voiceover industry. We're a green company with efforts towards sustainability at all of our studio locations. EdgeStudio.com. Sound people who are happy to help.